Welcome to That Is Good to Know Radio Show. This program focuses on you, the listener, by providing you information, strategies, and practical educational tips from successful seasoned business professionals. Now, with today's program, here's your host, Jeff Stanislow.
Hey, Tampa Bay, this is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. We're up with another great session of information that we feel is important to you. And after you're listening, hopefully you say to yourself, hey, that was good to know. Again, thank you for your support here on AM 1040, airing on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. and Sunday mornings at 10. Today we have a special guest, a super marketing star that I've had the pleasure of knowing for, 15, 20 years. We did some work together back in Michigan before I even moved down to the Tampa Bay area. And we continue to have a little dialogue here, do a little work. Thank you for joining us today, May Lee Oztaly.
Hey, Jeff. Good to be on your show again. And it's great to catch up. It's been a while since you and I talked, so I'm glad that we have an opportunity to touch base again on the show.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike, right? You get to talk to some people you haven't talked to in a little while, but you pick up conversations like you pick up riding a bike. So I appreciate you joining with us. Today, we're going to talk digital marketing. We're going to talk about a lot of great things for people to help themselves with small to medium-sized business, and we're going to tackle some of the AI initiatives that seem to be flooding the streets of the digital marketing world and creating a major impact on what's going on and how we're going to go to do business, especially in our space as professionals. So
I agree.
May Lee, thanks for joining us. Why don't you give us a little background on yourself? And you've been in the business for a long time doing marketing and digital marketing. Feel free to share a little bit about your experience.
Yeah, Jeff, you might remember. I mean, going back to when you were in Michigan, my marketing agency goes back to 1987. Started the Internet Group in 1994, and then we went 100% digital in 2004. As you can imagine, it's been a hell of a ride over all these years. And the reality is we're changing with the marketplace. What we did back in the 90s is different than what we did in the early 2000s, and certainly much different than what we've been doing the last couple of years, especially since AI started to hit the market.
Yeah. So being back in a long time, you've seen a lot of things kind of come and go, starting your, traditional agencies, like, back in the mid 80s and, going into digital full blown. So you've seen it from, kind of the advent of the internet, basically the first graphical interfaces, the first websites, kind of like the flaming logos and the spinning globes and, all that great stuff. And, I was talking
You remember those mailboxes that used to be these animated GIFs that we had on websites?
Yep. I remember the days of the AOL accounts and the dial up waiting to get connected to the internet. We hate to date ourselves, but I guess along comes with that was a lot of experience in this space. So, one of the things that I find, part of the challenge in this space is the ever shifting and changing opportunities for applications, tool sets, and things that can be done. Why don't you, take a minute or two and just kind of say, what you think some of the biggest advantages of the digital marketing world that has been brought to us, and then maybe some of the challenges that you or your clients might have faced, over the last 5 or 10 years trying to figure out this world.
Yeah. So, I had an interesting conversation earlier today. And if we think about the fact that we've had major events that have taken place right in the last 30 years, one was the internet opened up to the entire public. So that was a huge change, especially moving from AOL into internet. And then as you got to 2004, Google goes public, makes a massive change so that there are standards that businesses need to follow when they're doing web marketing, right, or website marketing. That was then followed by the iPhone coming to the market in 2007. And right around that same time is when you've got your MySpace, your Facebook, and your Twitter starting, right? Those are all major events that took place. Now, since 2007, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there'll be a few people that are going to push back against me right now. But the changes that have taken place from 2007 to 2022 really were fairly minor. Excuse me. We didn't really have anything significant. The next major significant item that hit the market was artificial intelligence going public towards the end of 2022. And the bottom line is the cat's out of the bag. But one thing that's consistent over all those 30 years, it never fails that the challenge is businesses accepting the changes.
Yeah.
That's been the biggest hurdle. It's not the fact that change is occurring. It's the fact that people aren't anticipating change. They're not accepting change. They don't know how to adapt to the changes. And more importantly, they don't know how to adopt the changes. And those are my four A's of marketing. my four A's of marketing that I always talk about when I give when I'm a guest speaker at conferences and whatnot. But the biggest challenge is accepting the change. And one of the things I tell clients and prospects alike, if you don't accept the change while you're sitting there trying to, you know, fret and fume that you can't, that this change happened, your competition is moving forward.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because if you don't accept it, that's fine. You know, your competition is going to accept it and figure it out.
Right. I mean, bottom line is we're on the train. You stay on the train. Don't get off. Because what is, if you decide to get off, your competition's on the train, they're moving forward. And the day that you decide you want to get back on the train, you're going to be on a different train, and your train is going to be 5 years behind schedule. It'll take you 5 to 10x to catch up. Mm-hmm. Why bother? Just accept it. It's like, yeah. You know, it's a reality of the world we live in. I mean, heck, go back to the 1980s. You remember when Microsoft and Windows came out, when there was an update to Windows, and you remember we used to get those on those discs. They used to come in like 30 packs.
Yeah.
remember those days? And I mean, when that change happened, when you had an update to Windows, I don't know if you remember, but there was havoc all the time. There was havoc on the desktop. There was havoc on the internal network. But the reality is you move forward, right? And the same thing is happening now. Instead of now where back in those days, Microsoft ruled the world in terms of these type of changes. Now it's like multiple technologies and multiple companies affecting change. So it's Google, it's Apple, right? It's Amazon, it's the whole industry of social media, the whole industry of artificial intelligence. So instead of being bombarded from one direction, now we're being bombarded with change from multiple directions. So that, I agree, that makes it a little bit harder. But really, we have to get over the emotional factor and just think about this logically.
Yeah, you do. And catching up with that change can be sometimes very difficult as well. But then there's changes that shock the system that gives you an opportunity to kind of reset and catch up yourself.
I mean, in any scenario, right, in any change that happens, there are opportunities, and you have to figure out how to make them work in your favor. But perhaps you don't have the knowledge for that, but that's where consultants in the industry, agency like ourselves, are here to help out and support the process. But in doing so, please don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah, and I think one of those biggest shocks that seems to kind of reset itself is like the Google search engine. And that's going to lead us into some AI conversation in a minute. But, you know, these algorithm updates and these changes. And I think, you know, we got, you know, also these cookies issues that are going to change here relatively quickly, where the third-party data is not going to be as easily shared. You want to talk to our audience a little bit about your thoughts on, you know, that big change that's coming this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think the shock is going to be to the advertising space the most, more than anything else, right? That's where the cookies have been used for a variety of reasons, including retargeting. And unfortunately, another change happening, we have to just kind of move on and say, you know what, we're going to move in a different direction. We're going to use different tools to help get the same result. Now, the tool may be completely different, right? So advertising will just be plain Jane advertising. It might be a vanilla version of advertising that we, compared to what we were used to. But we may end up using something completely different, such as artificial intelligence, that's able to help facilitate, let's say, lead generation in a completely different manner. That's where I think the change is going to take place. So what I'm saying to you is that we're not going to be able to have apples to apples. In other words, we're going to go from an apple to an orange.
Right.
But we're going to use the orange differently.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good analogy. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. You can listen again on AM 1040, Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 10. And we're talking with Mei Li Ostali, who is a longtime marketer and even longtime digital marketer as well, talking about some of the impacts of digital marketing on businesses. You know, kind of a couple things to take away, you know, before we dive into the AI. You mentioned lead generation. If you were to talk with your client and you had a 3-minute conversation, which we're going to have right now, about lead generation, what were some of the things that you would say to your client that are most important, you know, to them and into, you know, so they can have a successful lead generation program?
I think lead gen, when we talk about lead generation, we have to kind of define what we mean by that. And the reason I say that, and I don't mean this in a negative sense relative to who's doing this work. But when you think about the Asian market that has flooded us with lead generation pitches every day, whether you're on LinkedIn, whether you're in your email and so on and so forth, I don't see that as lead generation in the professional sense that I think and in the quality manner that I think the us U.S. companies are looking for. That type of lead generation is mass production, and it's a shotgun approach, hoping that something's going to stick. To that extent, I'm not a big fan of that type of lead generation. But if we think about lead generation relative to, let's say, using artificial intelligence, there are quality methods of making this happen. One, and that I'm going to suggest, which is one that we built out in our programs, is how do you use artificial intelligence to generate more leads from the website traffic that you're already getting? In other words, let's not send more traffic to your website. Let's figure out how to make your website more effective and use artificial intelligence to monitor the website visitors and create what's called the journey funnel. Using the journey funnel, the AI is able to then queue up calls to actions to the website visitor that is appropriate to where they are in that funnel. In other words, we're not passively waiting for a website visitor to click on a call to action. Rather, the AI, based on how they travel through the website, decides what call to action that would best meet their needs. In other words, if you can personalize the call to action to that visitor, you're more likely to get a response from them.
How are you guys using the AI? What type of inputs are you giving the AI that kind of helps you through this kind of, and I love the journey aspect of it, but what inputs are required, you know, so your AI can help do the work?
So, without getting too broad in this, let's just stick to this one little subject here that we're talking about. The input in this case is the website visitor, whether or not they stay on the website. In other words, are they bouncing out of the one page that they arrive in? So if they are, obviously, they're not going to be tracked. But if they stay and they go to the second page and the third page, the idea is how long do they spend on what page? In other words, what topic, right? So they're moving around in your B2B company, for example, and you're offering whatever, let's just say four or five different types of services or product offerings. Based on which pages they go to, how long they spend, and where they traverse. In other words, are they going to the About Us page, a blog page, a product or service page? Are they going to the contact page but not making content, right? Right. Are they going, you know, is there, the input is basically where the amount of time and the types of pages they're going to. Those are the two primary. So how long are they spending on the website? How long are they spending on a page? What pages are they going to? And based on that, creating a funnel that's personalized to that particular visitor.
Now, this input that you're getting it from, are you guys using just like Google Analytic data, or do you, you know, recommend any other third party, you know, that's sitting on top?
In this particular case, the AI is creating its own data. It's creating its own analytics, so to speak, and it's doing it on a per visitor basis.
Wow.
So what I'm suggesting to you is that, you know, going back to the previous topic, in other words, where we are moving away from these cookies, we can now, once somebody gets into our website, we're able to then work, you know, use the necessary AI tools to help get them to become a lead. In other words, we don't need retargeting at this point. We just need to get the person on the website. So think about it this way. Let's say you're just using plain Jane advertising because you don't have all these cookies anymore, and yet you can't do retargeting and everything else that we've been used to, right? So in the next month or two, when all that goes away, okay, that's fine. Use the vanilla version of advertising to get the person to your website. Alternatively, obviously, you know, if you want to do it for free, make sure you get ranked on Google and get Google to drive free traffic to you. But once they're on the website, now you can use the artificial intelligence to personalize the call to action to make sure that that person becomes a lead. And the AI is creating its own analytics, its own data, its own information about that visitor, and then queuing up a call to action and actively doing it versus waiting for somebody to passively click on something. Right. So now you can get somebody to act. Now you got the AI tool saying, hey, you know what? Now that I've learned a little bit about you, if you're at the top of the funnel, it might be a little bit more passive, right, and make a suggestion. Whereas if you're at the bottom of the funnel, and I say this loosely, the AI is going to hit you upside the head with a 2x4 and say, hey, would you please contact us?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's really, it's really interesting, you know, kind of like we talked briefly a few minutes ago about, like, you know, a jump start, a major shift that one can either stay on the train and maybe move up some cars, or, you know, kind of, if they don't adopt this type of change and figure out how it works and how to embrace it, you know, they're getting off at the stop and then their competition is going to continue on. We're talking with Maley Oztaly, and he's with Smart Finds. And why don't you tell us a little bit of how someone can reach out to you, Maley, while we got a minute here.
So probably the easiest thing to do is check out our website, which is smartfindsmarketing.com. We have a lot of information there. We even have a SEO guideline that everybody can download for free. Alternatively, reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn. That's the best place to find me. My name is spelled M as in Mary, E as in Edward, L-I-H. And my last name is Oztaly, which is O, Z as in zebra, T as in Tom, A-L-A-Y. I guarantee you I'm the only one on LinkedIn with that name.
There you go. There you go. Smartfindsmarketing.com is probably the easiest way. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know, talking a lot of great information about the future of marketing and where things are going. Maley, you mentioned, you know, SEO. And I've been doing, you know, some research here and, you know, some things. And I just see AI, you know, providing the query results for users. And I think organic SEO could be in trouble. I'd like to know your thoughts in regards to that as well, and how, how you think that might shape in the future where, you know, previously the search results and garnishing, you know, high rankings for your organic content on your website, it could be in jeopardy. I just wanted to know your thoughts on it.
I don't know that it's in jeopardy. I think, again, like everything else we've talked about, or at least the common theme that we've had in this conversation, is that there's change, right? And search engine optimization is also going through a change. The first major change it did, it had, was in 2013 when Google turned around and implemented the Hummingbird algorithm. That was a major change in terms of how SEO is going to work. And really what ended up happening is that SEO as a task stopped working, but SEO as an ongoing service and an ongoing need is what started. Now, fast forwarding today, and especially post-pandemic, and I say post-pandemic because the problem that we have now is that there's too much noise on the internet. So how do you overcome that noise? And the way you're going to overcome that noise is instead of trying to organically rank for a two-word phrase, you're going to chase down long-tail keywords. And so it might be a four-word phrase that you're going to say, this is what I want to get ranked for. Because Google is looking at the intent of the searcher, and Google is looking for you in terms of your website to be able to answer that intent. So this is where a long tail keyword has a better chance of answering the intent. So this is the change and the shift that we're going to go through. Don't get me wrong. This concept has actually been out there for a few years, but I think it's becoming more important based on the fact that we have all this noise out there. And so you have to, as a business, identify, you know, what is the pain point that your clients have? What type of questions are they going to ask for which you are going to provide an answer? So you have to come up with those questions that your clients are going to have, figure out what those answers are, and then base your strategy for organic marketing on that inside your website, your pages, and your blog posts.
And I also think you're going to need to tune up your ad buying skills. I think there's going to be a lot of ad serving changes, you know, with Google, where you're, you know, buying more sophisticated AI results for your search. We got about a minute left. What are your thoughts on that, Mele?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there. You're going to end up using artificial intelligence to what, and it's already available today, using artificial intelligence to optimize your advertising campaign, specifically your banner ad campaign. In other words, what the banner ad system is going to be able to figure out is what type of message is the target audience clicking on, and based on that, serve up the next ad that's appropriate based on what they clicked on before. And so that's, again, we're using artificial intelligence now without all the cookies and the tracking that we were used to up until this point.
Yeah, I think a lot to learn, but like you said, it's an opportunity for people to, you know, embrace the technology, understand it, work with professionals, you know, such as yourself, you know, to you know, understand how AI funnels work, understand how AI advertising is going to work. Mele, we thank you for your time, for joining us here on That Is Good to Know. And we hope that our listeners here in Tampa and abroad that stream from our website at thatisgoodtoknow.com enjoy this information. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know, signing off for another weekend here in Tampa. Have a great day.